Greetings from the voice of Allan Kardec.
And welcome from the voice of the spirits.
We are here once again to take you on another small journey through the Spirits book by Allan Kardec. Today's segment comes from Part 3, Chapter 3, titled The Law of Labor, covering questions 674 to 685.
Enjoy.
Question 674. Is the necessity of labor a law of nature?
Labor is a law of nature, and as such, is a necessity per se, because civilization both increases people's need and their enjoyments. It obliges them to work more.
Question 675. Should we understand labor to entail only material occupations?
No, the spirit labors as much as the body. Every useful occupation is labor.
Question 676. Why has labor been imposed on humankind?
It is a consequence of the corporeal nature. It is a means of expiation and, at the same time, a means of perfecting their intelligence. Without labor, humans would remain in intellectual infancy. Thus, they must owe their food, safety, and well-being to their own labor and activity. God has granted more intelligence to certain persons in order to compensate for their physical weakness. But labor is involved nonetheless.
Question 677. Why does nature itself provide for all the needs of the animals?
Everything in nature labors. Animals labor as you do, but their work, like their intelligence, is limited to their self-preservation. That is why labor does not lead to progress among them. While among human beings, it has a double objective, the preservation of the body and the development of thought. The latter is also a necessity and raises them above themselves. When I say that the labor of animals is limited to self-preservation, I mean the objective towards which their labor is aimed. But while devoted entirely to providing for their physical needs, they are also unknowingly agents collaborating in the designs of the Creator. Their labor plays no less a part in the final objective of nature, although you often do not see its immediate result.
Question 678. On more highly evolved worlds, are humans subjected to the same necessity of labor?
The nature of the labor is relative to that of the needs. The fewer the material needs, the less material the labor. Yet, you must not assume that humans on such worlds remain inactive and useless. Idleness would be a torture instead of a benefit.
Question 679. Are those who possess plenty of assets to ensure their welfare exempted from the law of labor?
From physical labor, perhaps, but not from the obligation to render themselves useful according to their means and to perfect their own and others' intelligence. This, too, is labor. If those to whom God has granted enough assets to ensure their welfare are not obligated to eat their bread from the sweat of their brow, their obligation to be useful to their fellow creatures is all the greater. It is a portion they have received in advance, allowing them more free time to do good.
Question 680. Aren't there those who are incapable of working at anything at all and whose existence serves no purpose?
God is just and only condemns those who intentionally live a life that serves no purpose because they live by depending on other people's work. God desires for all to make themselves useful according to their own faculties.
Refer to question number 643. Question 681. Does the law of nature impose upon children the obligation to work for their parents?
Certainly, just as parents must work for their children. That is why God has made filial love and parental love natural sentiments, so that by such mutual love, the members of the same family may be led to help each other. This is frequently not recognized in your present society.
Refer to question number 205. Question number 682. Since rest is needed after labor, isn't rest therefore a law of nature?
Absolutely. Rest serves to restore the strength of the body. It is also needed to give a little more freedom to the intelligence, which must raise itself above matter.
Question 683. What is the limit of labor?
The limit of one's strength. However, in this regard, God leaves people free to decide what their limit is.
Question 684. What is to be thought of those who abuse their authority by imposing too much work on their subordinates?
It is one of the worst things they could do. All who have the power of command are responsible for any excessive work they impose on their subordinates, since if they do so, they transgress the law of God.
Refer to question number 273. Question 685. Do humans have the right to retire in old age?
Yes, none are required to labor beyond their ability to do so.
Sub-question 685. But what resources do aging people have available if they must earn a living but cannot?
The strong should work for the weak. In the absence of a family, society should replace it. That is the law of charity.
Author's remarks for question 685. It is not enough to tell people they must work. It is also necessary for those who make their living from their labor to actually be able to find employment. But this does not always happen. Whenever the lack of available work is widespread, it assumes the proportions of a calamity, much like a famine. Economic science seeks a remedy in the balance between production and consumption. But this balance, supposing that it is possible, will always experience cycles. And during such phases, workers must still make a living. There is an element that has not been sufficiently pondered, but without which economic science is nothing more than theory. Education. Not intellectual education, but moral education. Not moral education through books, but moral education that consists in the art of forming character. Moral education that creates habits, because education is the sum of acquired habits. When one considers the mass of individuals who are daily thrown into the torrent of the population without principles, without restraints, and handed over to their own instincts, can we wonder at the disastrous consequences? When the art of education is recognized, understood, and practiced, all individuals the world over will follow the habits of order and forethought for themselves and their dependents. They will respect whatever is respectable and will have habits that will enable them to less painfully endure unavoidable adverse days. Disorder and lack of forethought are two sores that only a sound education can heal. That is the starting point, the real element of well-being, the guarantee of security for all.